Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Friday, May 27th, 2022. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives. As we teach and support people in using, learning, getting better and better at using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free on the internet through the tireless efforts of Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice at whyagain.org. If you go to that website and click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner, it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of that book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect for almost 18 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships, and to turn any negative emotional experience I have into part of the infallible guidance system that each and every one of us has been given. You can also get access to the tool itself. It's a simple PDF file. You can download it, print it off, copy it as often as you'd like, and use it over and over again. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words, Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. And if you do that, before you're done typing the word forgiveness, you'll see the glowing heart icon. If you choose to tap on that, it will let you download a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. And we hope people do that soon and often because it not only improves the quality of our lives, those of us who use those tools on a regular basis, it also stands a good chance of generating comments or questions or answers or testimonials from you. And if you have any of those to share with us, you can call us at 563-999-3581. If you choose to call that number, when you press 1 on your phone, that'll give the little icon of a hand by your phone number, and I will turn it on the microphone and announce you by your area code. So, alternatively, you can choose to send us an email at tjh@mindshifters-academy.org, or you can email Jeannie at jeannie@whyagain.org. So, we appreciate your being here, and we have plenty of time for comments and questions at the beginning of the show. We're also working through the Way of Mastery, and what we left off in the Way of Mastery yesterday was in Lesson 12, where it's warning us, not like there's a danger warning, but it's warning us that if we go forward into the next book of The Way of Transformation without having gotten the deep richness that's available in the first 12 lessons, we're basically going to be working at this very inefficiently. We're basically going to be unable to really take into ourselves what's available in the next set of tools and the Way of Transformation. And so I got an email from Susan Bingham. And Susan, you're there. I'm going to turn on your microphone and ask if you have an interest in discussing some of these statements / questions that you put in your email.
Sure, if it's fitting for what you want to do.
As we witnessed, you're not the only one who has this. There are other people who put their hand up, and two other people made the same kind of a statement about, oh my gosh, you know, this is fearful. What if I haven't gotten all the things? And I just want to clarify that in your email, you're talking about it as though you heard the words that are contained in the Way of Mastery as saying, you have to be free of all triggers before you move forward.
Right.
And that really isn't, to my way of thinking, that's not what's being said here. Just like, you know, as they talk about, and a lot of great spiritual teachers talk about this morning I was listening to the book on Audible of The Buddha Is Still Teaching. And it's just a collection of, you know, the highest thoughts from a lot of different teachers. And one of them tells a story of being over in India with one of the gurus, and because of whatever prep work had been happening, this person had one of those experiences of being connected, intimately connected to everybody in the room, and thereby, by extension, therefore, everybody in the town, and then everybody in the world. One of those openings in consciousness that created a shift.
Mm. Yeah.
And then this person told that to their guru, and the guru said, wonderful, this means you will never have fear again. Right? You'll never have fear again, or never be afraid again. Fear won't rule you again. One of those kinds of statements. And the person thought, wow, that's fabulous. But then a few hours later, when the, you know, darshan was over and she was out on the streets in India and there were dogs barking and there were people pressing in and there's all this chaos, she felt fear again. And for a moment, she felt really disappointed, both at her guru for telling her something that wasn't true and at herself for failing. But then in the next moment, she realized she has the energy of fear, but it's not overwhelming her. She feels a sense of competence and strength to deal with it that wasn't there before she had that opening experience. And she said it was similar to the idea of, you know, having a full tablespoon of salt in like one of those Demitasse cups that you have for espresso.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a little bit of water and a full tablespoon of salt is the way fear used to feel to her. And now it's like, you know, there's, you know, a half of a teaspoon in a swimming pool.
Mm-hmm.
So she can feel it's there, but it's not overwhelming her.
Mm.
And so that's the kind of thing that's being pointed at in my idea here with the Way of Mastery in Lesson 12, saying, look, at one point in a lesson, whether it was 3 or 5, it said, if you get this, if you understand this lesson, you'll never again fear fear. And I took a little sidebar and commentary on that to say, it doesn't say you will never feel fear. It just says your relationship to it will be such that you won't run from it. You won't feel overwhelmed by it. You won't let it drive your behaviors. And so in a similar fashion, I think that's what's being asked of us in Lesson 12, where it says, please don't rush ahead until you've taken some time to go back through the first 12 lessons and look for these pearls of wisdom and grace and softened your own mind energy, your own consciousness with these practices and with questioning and with observation as you interact with others in daily events, so that you create a softer landing spot within you for some of these ideas, which when they first come up, they're going to seem really controversial, really pretty much the opposite of what your family and your culture has taught you. And in the moment when somebody tells me something, you know, like somebody says, there is no gravity. Well, in the moment where I hear something like that, my mind does things like jumps in, pushes it away, scrambles to find, you know, ways to ridicule the person that made that statement or argue against it with logic. But if I soften and breathe and I say, wow, what might this person be trying to communicate in a phrase like there is no gravity, or in a phrase like the way is easy and without effort, or in a phrase like you need do nothing, or in a phrase like nothing you experience has come from anything except what you've chosen to experience. Because when I first hear those kinds of things and they clash so dramatically with everything I've ever been taught and led to believe, that what happens within me is a hardening and a tensing, and it doesn't let things in. It doesn't let me, you know, like some people like to do this fancy thing with wine where they put a little bit in their mouth and they swish it around and they move their tongue and they let themselves feel how it feels on the sides of their mouths and underneath their tongue and on the back of their tongue and on the tip of their tongue. And they just play with it to see what it has to offer. Well, I can't do that when I resist an idea, when I say, that's so stupid, or that person's wrong, or that's idiotic. So that's like the hardening of the soil that won't let the rain in. Right, so that's like the hardening of my consciousness that won't let me receive the pearls of grace and wisdom that might be offered. So what all they're saying here is not, you have to be in a place where you never get triggered again. That's not what they're asking us to do. What they're asking us to do is understand that when we get triggered, it's not being caused by something outside of us. And then we can use our triggers as our guidance system, like a Geiger counter or a compass, because we turn inside and ask, okay, how am I doing this? And now I don't run on a rampage or a wild goose chase trying to change the people and things outside of me so that I don't have to feel my alarm system. Instead, I turn inside and ask my alarm system, okay, what is this revealing to me? So you said, you know, to be completely healed of trigger reactions seems impossible. And that is not what I believe they're asking us to do before moving on to the way of transformation. They're simply asking us to understand that every time we go through a situation where we're triggered and we own the trigger and we remember the message of the first axiom, from page 5 of the first lesson, that says nothing that you experience is caused by anything outside of you, and you experience only the effects of your choice. In the moment when I'm triggered, when I can bring that up, or as soon after getting triggered as I can, I bring that up, and I take that kind of breath where I hold it at the top, and I resist the exhale, and I initiate that rest and digest response within my body's energy system, I get the chance to choose again. I get the chance to question the part of my mind that wants to blame the people and things around me. You know, I just had a wonderful example of this in the session I just had with a woman. She has a almost 10-year-old daughter and just a charming, you know, she says over and over again how blessed she is to have this person as her daughter. And yet life isn't perfect. So last night at the end of a long day when the father had let the child stay up too late and the child was crabby and the house was hot and the mother had just come home from a late meeting and the child is crabby about getting into bed because it's too hot and I can't sleep when it's hot and the child is escalating. Are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay.
Jacob just came into the room. So, carry on.
And so the mother felt herself getting irritated and said, can we just not do this? And she raised her voice and was basically yelling at her daughter, can we just not crab at each other tonight? And in the next mm-hmm. moment, the mother caught herself and took a breath and said, okay, let's look for solutions instead of complaining, which is essentially what she was telling her daughter. Can we just quit complaining and start finding solutions? And then it came to the mother, oh, how about a cold washcloth across the forehead and the eyes? Would you like to try that? And the daughter said yes, through her tears and her upset, and just started crying. And the mother went and got a cold washcloth and came and laid it on her daughter's head. And she said before she could take her hand away from the cloth, her daughter was sound asleep. So that's all that's being asked of us. We're not being asked to be a stone or to be this perfected consciousness that never feels a disruption in our peace. What we're being asked to become aware of is that we are causing the disruptions to our peace. And if we can just step back and observe that more and more, then take the 100% responsibility for what we're creating in the moment, then we can choose to create differently. And, you know, while it's a great, you said you had the teachers in the Vedanta tradition saying, let us above all not hate one another. And you say, I continue to set the bar way down there. Well, remember, if you add that line, let us not hate one another, if you add that to this other observation that A Course in Miracles makes that says, the slightest irritation is connected to the deepest rage,
mm-hmm.
then it becomes not such a low bar.
Yeah,
right?
That's a scary thing. I remember that line in the Course. Yeah.
Well, but it again, you said that's a scary thing. So watch your language, right? There's your favorite miserable feeling that you're throwing in here. There's nothing scary
yeah.
about it. It is an opportunity to look for and then start working on things before they get to the rage state. That's all that means, right?
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
so my slightest irritations that I might take a 100% responsibility for and do an EFT tapping session or a Michael Rice reality management worksheet or a Diedrich Wolsack six-step forgiveness process or a Byron Katie, four-question worksheet process with turnarounds. I might do some EFT tapping or some breath work on it, rather than just ignore it because it's only a minor irritation. But that teaching
mm-hmm.
that says the slightest irritation is connected to the deepest rage simply gives me a way to start looking at how I can start working with and improving my internal dynamics. When I have a slight irritation, I don't have to wait until I'm raging at someone or they're raging at me.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at it that way, hopefully it's harder for you to use it to generate fear.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Tim. Yeah, it's true. I jumped to the exact opposite conclusion there, that if you've got this little irritation, you're just a boiling volcano ready to rip, and it's all there, and boy, oh, boy, do you have work to do. I mean, you can see how I can hit it.
Yes, I do. I do see how you do that. And it's also possible to use it from the other perspective as this, you know, it's easier to work with the little ones the little irritations, and to use the same committed process to exploring, uncovering, and dismantling the false perceptions that I create, and to do that with the minor irritations is far better, far easier.
Mm-hmm.
And then you ask, you say, I wonder if I'm getting lax in applying the tools or if I need a fresh kind of tool. And I don't quite know what you mean by this next line, so I'm going to ask you. Because the work always comes back to my feeling of needing to be rescued from a permanent state of irreversible depravity. What does that mean?
I mean, it's rather grand, isn't it? But I really, that's sort of the truth. I really think there's, if I were really honest about everything, I would say, oh, I've got my life, so it looks pretty good, and I could fool everybody, but I can't fool myself. This is just, I'm going to go to the grave with this secret, you know, that there's a core of rot down at the bottom of everything. It's not going to be cleaned out.
Okay, so there's a core of rot in you, at your core, and that's what you're referring to as irreversible depravity? Okay.
Yeah.
And that's what we're referring to in this work as simply needing to just do the work again and again. Well, how many times do I have to do it? Well, 77 times 70. What does that mean? That means an infinite number of times until it's complete. 7 is the number of completion, and if you add a 0 to a number, that means infinity.
Mm.
And that, you know, that comes back to what I started with, to say this work is not saying you need to be at a place where you never get triggered. This work is saying just start to own the process of creating your own experience in each moment, and that means you're also creating your triggered response, and you're creating the interpretation of this completely neutral life event that just unfolded, and that is under your control as well. So when you create a triggered response that you don't like, you'd prefer not to have it, you can choose again. You can create differently. You know, I don't know if you you ever heard about Wayne Dyer as a person, as a teacher.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
40-some books and international bestsellers and all of this stuff. And, you know, bigger clay feet you'll never find in a human being. And that's not the issue. The issue isn't, you know, can he levitate and ascend into heaven? The issue is, can he learn to own and continue to work on right up until the time he decides to drop the body, owning his negative reactions, owning, you know, making the course corrections that are suggested every time he gets triggered, as opposed to getting triggered and believing it's being caused by someone outside of him. You know, I tell people, I don't even want to get to the place where I never get triggered again, because what that will likely mean is that I'm in denial and I have blinders on and I'm thinking I'm not triggered, and everybody around me is going to say, well, you know, Tim is really upset. Because it's like the alarm system in a building. I don't want to, you know, once there's a fire and I put out the fire, then I rip out the alarm system because they didn't like the sound. I want the alarm system to be able to go on if there's another fire or if there's more smoke before a fire. And so my getting triggered is my warning system. I don't want to be separated from my warning system. I just want to get better and better at reminding myself that it's all under my power of creation, that it is all workable if I own it first. And it's not workable when I disown it, when I'm in denial. So the irreversible depravity is just something that, you know, it might have started out pretty much the size of the world's largest ball of yarn that I hear is somewhere in Oklahoma, and you can see it on a road trip or whatever. But now it might be down to the size of a basketball or a handball, right? And because your next paragraph says, all of this is not to say, you got to watch the regulatory speech here, but what you're saying is your life has massively improved since you began using the tools. Am I reading that correctly? That you have far less anxiety, far, far less anxiety. Put the word far in there twice, separated by a comma. So we know it's not a mistake. That you're nearly free of depression, that you're off all meds, that you have renewed energy, that you have better relationships, that you have less fear of being open, which is evidenced in part by the fact that you're on the willing to, you know, raise your hand and be heard on the internet show, et cetera. You have a return to writing music and doing other creative things. Wow, that's a big, wonderful list. Congratulations for what you're doing to improve your quality of life with these tools.
Yeah, when I wrote that, I thought, what are you doing here? You're trying to undo what you've been complaining about for the past first several paragraphs? Basically, you're saying, well, it really isn't a problem, but I'm not really saying
that. The problem is still there. The problem is still there. I want to be able to say, I've still got work to do. Right. I can still get triggered to upset. there was a story in one of these books I was listening to where this person was at this Zen Buddhist center with one of the higher, you know, most enlightened people in the Buddhist tradition, and they were having tea. And of course, you know, you're supposed to be very present and very relaxed and very calm with all things when you're around these Buddhist people. And the other thing about the Buddhist tradition is that they, at its highest level, they say a respect for all life, including every gnat and every mosquito and every ant and spider and all that kind of stuff. So that you just need to have that as background to this story. So this young man is there, and he's with some of the most enlightened, most loving, most gentle people, and they're having this ritual tea, and all of a sudden he looks down at his tea, and he sees that there's a fly in his tea, kind of impulsively, without any thought, without being able to restrict it, he kind of grunted or sighed. In some kind of a negative expression. It wasn't a big thing. He didn't, like, say, oh, my God, there's a fly in my... Nothing big. He just had a little bit of a grunt, a little bit of a flinch. And, of course, he's sitting next to a nearly, you know, constantly enlightened person who's a Buddhist monk of the highest order, and the monk says to him, oh, what's the matter? And he goes, oh, nothing, master. And he tries to play it off and, you know, no, it's nothing. It's nothing. I'm fine. No. I saw a reaction. He said, "What?" And the student said, "Oh, it's just that, you know, there's a fly in my tea." And the master went, "Oh, no!" And the master comes over and gently scoops the fly out of the tea, and then disappears outside. And he's outside for like 10 or 15 minutes. And the student is, you know, thinking, oh, brother, I'm going to get it now. And then the teacher fairly dances back into the room. He said, oh, it's fine. It's wonderful. Don't worry. I was able to put the fly on a leaf, and the sun dried its wings, and it started fluttering, and the fly is going to be okay.
Oh, that's so cute. That's a great story.
And of course, the teacher, the purest of Buddhist teachers in a time like that, would not be saying that tongue in cheek. It would not be a sarcastic thing to ridicule the student. It would be this respect for the sanctity of life and, you know, being wide open, as we were talking about earlier in your email, and being able to feel sadness, the energy of loss or sadness, when any living creature, you know, loses its vitality. So anyway, this is not, I'm not trying to get to the point where I don't feel any upset. And I'm not being told, don't you dare go on to lesson 13. It doesn't say don't you dare. It says, no.
Yeah.
If you go on, you're not going to be able to, if you go on without having really gone back through these 12 lessons and really been doing it in an open, focused way, not when you're being distracted by, you know, other people in the house or sports shows, or you're not doing it on some kind of a pace where you set yourself, I'm going to get through these lessons and I'm going to do one a day for the next. But just really softening, doing it with an open heart and a soft, gentle breath to see what it might have to offer you. And then when you go forward, you'll get more out of it. But it's just a book. It's just words on a page. If you want to go ahead and read them, you can, even if you've never even read the first book. You're not going to get any harm by going up and picking up a book like The Way of Transformation. It just won't have the same impact. It won't seep in as deeply. You won't be able to understand all that's being offered, or even some of the levels of what is being offered. We should take the word all of what's being offered out of there, because there is no limit to what's being offered here.
Good. Yeah, the types of trigger I have, they've boiled down to just pretty much one type of trigger, which really likes to stay that way. There's a certain enjoyment here, a want to be right, and a want to stay mad that's pretty impressive. I haven't been able to crack it. Very wily. So just looking at it.
Well, so say that again. The triggers boil down to what?
One particular response to, well, I guess I should be specific. I remember when Toby was on, you said, well, that's sufficiently vague to give me. So you tried to get a toehold somewhere in there because he wasn't giving you a specific example. The specific example is Tim Bingham and I run a Zoom group, a support group, and his sister who lives in Santa Fe called in, and she has a friend who calls in from there too, and they are part of a community that decided not to have a vaccination, and I know that's just a tremendous trigger for a lot of people, and that puzzled me too. Why have we picked this, and why have I gotten right on the bandwagon with everybody else? So there are three of them that have not been vaccinated, and the rest of us have. And one of them starts talking about how the news media is just putting out all these false pieces of information to get the vaccinated people to say, well, look at the numbers. 1 million people in this country alone have died of COVID, and we could have prevented this. I mean, they are very angry because the news, they feel the news is skewed so that they look bad. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, it is pretty compelling news. I mean, it doesn't sound fake if you've given a number and they've made a count and they're even saying this count is probably really low. There are so many unreported incidents. That alone, I was so fully triggered, I was just breathing. I was just thinking, I don't want to be called an issuer of fake news or getting on the wrong bandwagon or being wrong, there it is. I want to be right. And then if I want to be right, then who's wrong? The other guys. This is just I get right, come nose to nose with it, do my breathing, do my inclusive, you know, there everybody's doing the best they can, the way you say. But I don't get past it, Dr. Tim. I do the worksheets, and I end up feeling this tightening if the issue comes up again. I think, oh, I'm good now, I'm good. And then this recent meeting last Wednesday, and two of them said they had gotten together and talked about how they feel as if they feel offended because some of us, one of them is a virologist, and she just speaks in, you know, from her education, she just says the vaccine is not a living organism. It can't give you COVID. And one of them is saying, I'm suffering from protein byproducts of the vaccination. I got sick after a vaccinated person came to my house. You can see how this is just like rolling a snowball in damp weather, and the snowball is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And what is going on? So there's the specific issue. And I'm saying, well, I just haven't gotten much traction at all with this. I just decide it's more important to love my sister-in-law. This is Tim's sister, and she has her reasons for being against a vaccination. She suffered a lot from a lot of poor medical choices that were made by her parents for her when she was small, and that is one of the reasons she's not getting a vaccination. She wants nothing to do with allopaths, and she'll go to alternative medical people for her treatments. And I understand that, but I'm also still not getting to the point where it's just what you, I love it the way you say, oh, okay, that's what I want to be able to do. Oh, okay, I get it. Yeah, that's okay. I'm not there.
Okay. Oh, so if that's what you want to be able to do, then go ahead and do it. Right? There's a number of different levels and layers of this. One of them is, have you heard me talk about the difference between process and content?
Yeah.
I have, I've talked about it a number of times on the show. I think I even ran through it even earlier this week, maybe if not at the end of last week. So as soon as when I have somebody, whether I'm in a support group or I'm in a personal situation or I'm in a therapy, it doesn't matter. When I have the discernment that someone is getting elevated in their emotional intensity, in their volume, in their body tension, et cetera, I take a step back, focus on my breathing, turn the focus inside myself, and I make the conscious choice to quit talking about the details of the conversation.
Got it. Yep.
And that's where a phrase like okay comes in, right? That's like a placeholder for me that just says, okay, I'm not going in there because I'm not going to say anything about the content or the details or the logistics here, because I have become aware that either in myself and or in the other person, there's a process of emotional intensity going on, and it is never about the outside story. It is never
yeah.
about the outside events. If there is an external event that needs an action, it won't come with anger. It won't come with words. It won't come with judgment. It won't come with, you know, deep sadness. It will just flow from the energy of the person who is just an energy field within an energy field within an energy field, interacting with the part of the energy field that needs a correction or a balancing. So when people start talking about it and they're getting upset and they're saying, you're making me be the bad guy, and you can feel that emotional intensity come up, my recommendation is the thing that's worked best for me for a lot of years now and continues to work is I take a breath because I realize if I'm in the presence of somebody who's escalating emotionally with their volume and their intensity or their physical structure is tensing,
mm-hmm.
I feel it. And so I take one of those breaths where I hold it at the top and I slow the exhale and I keep the mm-hmm. focus in on myself. And I refuse to be goaded into a discussion about things that are clearly not the issue. And so mm-hmm. when this kind of comes up on the internet show or it comes up in our support groups and people want to talk about all of this vaccine stuff and who's vaccinated and who's not, I let the conversation go as long as it's just discussional. But as soon as mm-hmm. somebody starts the evidence in their tone of voice or the words or the blaming phrases they're using that they're triggered, I mm-hmm. intervene in a way that asks them, how are you feeling right now?
Yeah.
What mm-hmm. what emotional, what physical tension are you generating? What emotional state are you aware of? You sound mm-hmm. blah, 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 whatever this is. And if they're willing to turn the focus into themselves and say, yes, I'm aware of sadness, or I'm aware of fear, or I'm aware of anger, then I suggest mm-hmm. the worksheet process or the EFT tapping. Sometimes we just interrupt the process and everybody starts doing EFT tapping as a group on,
nice.
on the energy process that's going for the individual that's most highly triggered. And we'll be
yeah.
sitting there through the video, or if we're in the, you know, years ago when we were meeting person to person, we'd be sitting around the table and everybody would be tapping and everybody would be saying the same thing, resonating for the energy of the person that's most triggered. And we dissipate the emotional intensity before we move forward, even before we pick up the worksheet process, and certainly before we continue any discussion about who's right, who's wrong, and who's causing what, and who owes who money or whatever it is. So that is a huge benefit to me in my life, to have learned the difference between the emotional intensity, which I call the process, and the content,
mm-hmm.
which is any of the details or logistics.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I use it for myself if I'm in a situation and other people are all calm and I notice that I just got triggered to any
yeah.
of those negative emotional states or even to shutting down.
Mm-hmm.
I take a breath and I turn the focus inside. And if someone tries to engage me from that perspective, I say, I need to step away. I need a timeout. Let me get back to you on that. So I do it whether I notice that I'm having an emotional process of intensity or I notice that someone that I'm interacting with has an emotional process of intensity. Either way,
mm-hmm.
I refuse to engage in a discussion of any kind of details or logistics until the emotional intensity has been soothed or reduced and calmed, so that the logic
mm-hmm.
can come back on track for me and or the other person.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I can really relate to that, and I can also say that this is so...
Okay, Jake.
Sorry, Jim. I'm on the radio show live. Sorry, a lot's going on around here.
You can also say that what?
This trigger has stayed as a trigger. It's the content. I've got the content in the way of the process. The content's still festering. You've got to really
right.
deal
right.
with
but,
that.
But,
so.
But you don't need to deal with the content. What you need to do is explore within yourself how there's a flavor of the dynamic that is resonating such deep upset in you. So, you know,
yeah.
when you were younger, was it dangerous to be wrong? Right? Or when you were younger, was it dangerous to be quiet and step out of a discussion? Or
mm-hmm.
have you downloaded a belief that says if you get quiet and step back from a discussion, it means X, Y, or Z negative about you? So
right.
as you do the worksheets or the process, whichever, you know, discovery process you choose, to tap into that within yourself, when you see the roots of it, it will lose its power to generate such upset in you.
Okay, good. I just haven't done it then, have I? I mean, all right, I've got some work to do. I can feel it. Yep.
Well,
yeah.
And I think the clue was that you said it's the content that keeps catching you. And it's
yeah.
never the content that's catching us. That's the point
right.
of this
right.
of this awareness.
Yeah. Right. Right. And I can feel that because I've had other times with other issues that have had the same effect, which means it isn't the content. Yeah, it isn't the content. I guess I also got sidetracked because as a culture or as a country, we have this sort of, I mean, you say all minds are joined. They really are on this one. We have just massive taking of sides. And tons and tons of us are buying right into the content argument and staying stuck there. I want to get out of that. So I have my own work to do, and we all do, but that's none of my business. I just have to do
right.
mine.
Right, and that's a personal choice.
Yeah.
To not be stuck there, right? To use
yeah.
the triggering mechanism within us in a healing way rather than a hurting way.
Right. Boy, okay. That's good, Dr. Tim.
Well, you know, I had somebody who's a very, very successful person, very, you know, running a school that, you know, she created and just all kinds of intelligence and competence oozing out of this person. And I got a message from her not long ago. Was, you know, the message was something to the effect of my director just quit. Gave notice the last day is going to be at the end of July. I'm trying to hold myself together. Quote, people always leave me, close quotes, is on fire within me. I'm so upset I can't even process what's all going on in my body right now. So
yeah.
here's a woman in her 50s who is so bright, so competent. She started school from scratch. It keeps growing, you know, millions of dollars that she's responsible for in payroll and all of these students and teachers' aides and this highly competent person. And this got triggered. People always leave me. So what do you think my response was? Let's go back to the bottom line observations. And, you know, let's take a look at how if I have a negative thought or negative emotion about myself or somebody else, I can instantly know three things. Number one, it's a lie or based in a falsehood. Number two, this is an old tape playing. This is not about a 52-year-old woman with such high competence and intelligence that she's created, expanded, and continues to run this school. This is a little voice. This is a, you know, single digit or preteen or early teen person who feels like she's been abandoned, and all of those old tapes are getting resonated. And the third thing she can know is if she takes an action from that, everybody leaves me, my people always leave me, nobody has my back, any kind of a statement like that, she's just going to make her current situation worse because the echoes of that from her past are not being caused by the current present moment situation. The present moment situation is one of the realities of the business world. People move in and out of jobs like they're changing coats these days. That's just a reality of life. And it's not an indictment against the school or this woman, etc. So again, if you get caught up in the content of this person's leaving and so many other people have left, then you miss, oh my gosh, I feel abandoned. I have this flood of emotion coming up in me. Let me use the tools to dismantle my process that's generating this emotion before I decide how to respond from an intellectual or practical mm-hmm. level.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's
we had
another
couple of hands go up.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Let me turn on 760. You're in the air.
Hey, this is Ann. So
hello.
I have a question for Susan. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Hello?
I can.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Would you like a practice session? Would you like a practice session right now? My phone's been breaking up. Can you still hear me?
And
oh,
I can hear you. Okay. I don't know if Dr. Tim can hear you.
I'm here.
Okay.
Okay.
Sometimes
I don't understand. I don't understand the offer of a practice session. I don't understand that.
Oh, to her, from what you've just been talking about, if I say to Susan, right now, I choose not to get vaccinated, what is it? See, that's what I mean about practice. Now, she can choose to do what you've suggested, Dr. Tim, or not.
Yeah.
So she can say, okay. And then we move on. And how did that feel if you could only say okay and then move on with the conversation?
I'm still...
Yeah, my phone is...
No, I can
You're
hear
processing?
You, but I'm not sure how to... I'm not sure what to do with your offer. I appreciate it.
Well, if you don't go into the content, then you would be able to say okay. Is that correct? If you don't ask me why, and then it goes into the content. But if you just say okay, and then I go okay, hey, and then I go on to the next thing that I was going to say.
If you were a person on the street that I didn't have much to do with, yeah, I would just say, yeah, okay. This was a group we were in where we're being very open with one another. And this is a relative of Tim's and somebody that's very dear to both of us.
Right.
And she
is
feeling very victimized by being shut out of a family reunion where the family want everyone to be vaccinated and probably masked or eating outside if things. I know New England is very more reactive. She's out in Santa Fe and they're
right,
much but then
you're
stuff like that.
But then you're talking about content. And the reason I brought this up is because I have a close friend. And when I got on the phone with her, she called me selfish and stupid. But I didn't tell her that it was my choice not to get vaccinated because I could hear her tone of voice and I know her. So I never gave her my side of the story. I never gave her my opinion because I just ignored it. My mistake was that I went and told somebody else that this is what she said, and then I was shown that that was wrong. So if I talk to her again and she brings it up and she says the same thing, I will still ignore it. And she's close to me, and she's community. So I was just offering that, then how do you feel about me having heard that? So is that something you have to work on? I just been practicing the same thing. That's why I brought it up. Because I love you. Anyway, that's all I have.
Yeah. I somehow can't compute that, but I'll think about it.
I don't know. Does it make sense, Dr. Tim, what I just did? I was just giving her something to try out. because
I get what you mean by a practice session, and you know, and if somebody if we had given Susan time to say, okay, you know, do you want to have a practice session before we offered it, then it might have been, you know, more productive.
Oh, okay.
But she, as Susan said, she can still work on it. She can still think about it.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Hold on a
I'll
minute. I'm going to turn on the. All right, I'll turn on the microphone for area code 828. The other hand that went up.
Hi, you all. This is Magda. Yes, it is. Nice to talk with everybody. So I was listening, and then I had an interruption where I had to leave the room, and I missed what you actually said. I'd love to have a quick review, if you will, about how when you realize that someone you're talking to, for instance, not myself in this case, but somebody else, is starting to get emotionally triggered by the subject, the content of whatever is being talked about, then how do you handle moving away from content and into process before you ever get to a worksheet or they get to a worksheet? What is the way to handle
that? There's an infinite number of ways to handle it, depending upon which tools that you find most useful, and depending upon whether or not you are the one who's been triggered to emotional intensity or upset, or the person you're talking to is triggered
right.
to it. So what we often do when we're in the support group and that comes up is that I will just make the observation that it seems from what I'm hearing in your tone of voice or what I notice with your breathing or the words and the intensities escalating that you're triggered, that you've got some upset. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah.
Do you want to work on dismantling that? Would you like help in doing a worksheet on that? Or should we start doing some EFT tapping? And what they most usually, if it's somebody else and I'm offering that to them, what they usually do is they say, they go right back into the content and arguing about how they're right and the other one's wrong.
Right.
And I just say, okay. And I'll either start doing my tapping or breathing and they'll say, so don't you see how I'm right? And I don't respond to that. I just say, okay. And I use my tools, whether it's my EFT tapping or my breath work or my goal canceling or, you know, whatever that I'm going to use to keep myself diffusing any negative response in me. And I'm simply going to, you know, it's the old thing about becoming the velvet curtain. You know, if you're in a handball court and somebody hits that ball against the hard wall, it bounces back like a rocket. But if you hang a velvet
right.
curtain about a foot away from the wall and you hit that ball there, it just hits that curtain and drops straight down. So I become the velvet curtain when
okay.
people want to talk about when people
right.
want to talk about content and I know they're upset. And then I use all of my, you know, years of experience for how to keep myself safe around people that are escalating to either, you know, walk away or, you know, drive away or run away. So I stay safe if somebody wants to keep escalating physically
mm-hmm.
and mentally, emotionally. But I simply
mm-hmm.
refuse to have a discussion about content when either I or the other person that I'm involved with is judged by me to be escalating.
Got it. So I could use that either way. If it's myself who's getting escalated and the other person
Always.
Isn't,
or Always.
If it's the other person, yeah. And what I
exactly.
what I've done before, and I guess this would be going away, is to simply say, you know, I'm getting triggered right now, or I've been triggered, so I don't want to talk about this anymore right now. And
yeah,
just,
I'll have to get back
you know,
to you.
Calm
right.
you down. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, good. Super. It's pretty easy, isn't it?
Well, it can be with practice, right?
Yeah, right.
It can be with practice.
Okay, good. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you all for your comments and
it.
Questions. I'm going to mute everybody as we get ready for our transition. We have helped us go all the way to the end of our time. Thank you, Susan. Thank you, Jan. Anne. Thank you, Magda. I'll remind us all that we come from love. We're made of the stuff we call love. We actually are love, that energy of creation expressing in form. And I will welcome Jeannie Rice. Welcome back. Maybe I'll turn on her microphone and welcome her back.
Yeah, sitting here talking to myself. Yeah, it's good to be back. Thank you.
It's live. It's not Memorex.
That's right.
It's the actual live Michael and Jeannie show coming at you. So have
right.
a wonderful show.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mindshifters Radio. Today is Friday, May the 27th, 2022. And our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And press 1, and that puts you in the queue to talk to us. We'd love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael. And we are live.
Hey, and what's so funny, sweetie?
Dr. Tim had just said it's not Memorex. It's actually live, Michael and Jeannie.
There you go. Real people.
Yeah.
It's been an interesting week. Thank you, everybody, for holding the space. We made a trek to St. Louis to spend a day with our daughter and our two granddaughters. And then we went to Kansas City and went through a wedding experience with my son, who, having gotten into his Scottish heritage, decided between his wife that and her heritage is Scottish, that they wanted to do a Scottish-themed wedding, including kilts. And so Jamie's six brothers and her dad and her nephew, who's been circling the earth for about 3 years, were all wearing kilts, as was Michael J., as was I. And it was just awesome. They did a Scottish hand fasting ceremony, and it was just really sweet. About 50 people came together for the reception, and it was just a really sweet happening. Nice to see Michael at 42 ready for marriage and family. So everybody hold them in space. And last night we talked to Michael J., and you know, many of you know him, I know. And they found out that his wife has COVID. Don't know whether it came from the wedding process or what happened. In any event, if you just hold them in the space, you know, Michael J.'s mom lives with them, and she has had a kidney transplant, so is on anti-rejection drugs, so has virtually no immunity. So if you just send light and love in the direction of CJ and Michael J. and Jamie, that would be appreciated. We then made a trip down to Heartland. Got a few things handled there. We have a new resident at Heartland. Thank you, Michael, for being there. And he's kind of just taking care of projects and managing the property, just kind of getting things ready, hopefully post-COVID, if that ever happens. The way things are going, who knows? We'll get to open and do intensives again. So thank you for that. And then and a big thank you to Jeannie because she drove this whole way. I had some challenges with my feet, and so Jeannie drove the whole way. And I got to be a passenger. And so we are finally back home in Bristol, Virginia. It was an awesome trip. Our garden is just ridiculous. We've got romaine plants that are 5 feet tall and a Swiss chard that's 6 feet tall, and it's bursting out of the greenhouse. So it's pretty cool to watch. We've now got three different garden spaces. Two of them we just started this year, and they're both just blooming and full of green, and pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. You put this little green thing in the ground, or this little white thing in the ground, and you put a little water on it, and wealth comes out of the ground. One of the things I'm really appreciating is just walking out a couple of times a day and just picking a couple of really strong green things off the vine and just chewing on them live, just right there. The parsley is seeding, so these wonderful little parsley seeds are just so sweet and tender. And there's a particular kind of kale that's a really narrow leaf, but you know, deep green taste. And I can just feel the energy and the vitality of it when I take a, you know, just a little nibble of it and chew on it for half an hour. So wonderful things happening in that regard. And we are back and ready to rock and roll. And I came across a story yesterday that I thought folks might be interested in. It might be something that you're familiar with, and it might not. But I felt like when I saw the details of it, I had no idea what was behind. You certainly remember Simon Garfunkel's song that starts out, "Hello, Darkness, My Old Friend." Well, I didn't know that Art Garfunkel was the subject of that song. And he was called Darkness. But a twist that if you've never heard the story, you wouldn't imagine in 1,000 years. So 62 years ago, Art Garfunkel, who was a kid from Queens, enrolled in Columbia University. I'm going to just read the story. During freshman orientation, Art met a student from Buffalo named Sandy Greenberg, and they immediately bonded over their shared passion for literature and music. Art and Sandy became roommates and best friends. With the idealism of youth, they promised to be there for each other no matter what. Soon after starting college, Sandy was struck by a tragedy. His vision became blurry, and although doctors diagnosed it as temporary conjunctivitis, the problem grew worse. Finally, after seeing a specialist, he received the devastating news that severe glaucoma was destroying his optic nerve. The young man with such a bright future would be soon completely blind. He was devastated, fell into a deep depression. He gave up his dream of becoming a lawyer and moved back to Buffalo, where he worried about being a burden to his family, who were struggling. Consumed with shame and fear, Sandy cut off contact with all of his old friends, refusing to answer letters or return phone calls. Suddenly, this is where the sweet part starts. To Sandy's shock, his buddy Art showed up at the front door. He was not going to allow his best friend to give up his life. So he bought a ticket, flew to Buffalo unannounced. He convinced Sandy to give college another go and promised that he'd be by his side. To make sure he didn't fall, literally or figuratively, he kept his promise, faithfully escorting Sandy around campus and effectively serving as his eyes. It was important to Art that even though Sandy had been plunged into a world of darkness, he never feel alone. Art actually started calling himself Darkness to demonstrate his empathy with his friend. He'd say things like, "Darkness is going to read to you now," organized his life around helping Sandy. One day, Art was guiding Sandy through a crowded Grand Central station when he suddenly said he had to go and left his friend alone and petrified. Sandy stumbled, bumped into people, and fell, cutting a gash in his shin. After a couple of hellish hours, Sandy finally got on the right subway train. And after exiting the station at 116th Street, Sandy bumped into someone who quickly apologized. And Sandy immediately recognized it was Art's voice. Turned out his trusty friend Art had been with him through the whole way home, making sure he was safe, but giving him the priceless gift of independence. Sandy later said, "That moment was a spark that caused me to live a completely different life, without fear, without doubt. For that, I am tremendously grateful to my friend." Sandy graduated from Columbia, then earned graduate degrees at Harvard and Oxford. He married his high school sweetheart and became an extremely successful entrepreneur and philanthropist. While at Oxford, Sandy got a call from Art. This time, Art was the one who needed help. He formed a rock duo with his high school pal, Paul Simon, and they desperately needed $400. Think of that, Paul Simon. Art Garfunkel needed $400 to record their first album. Sandy and wife Sue had literally $404 in their bank account, but without hesitation gave his friend what he needed. Art and Paul's first album. It was not a success, but one of the songs, The Sounds of Silence, became a number one hit that year. The opening line echoed the way Sandy always greeted Art. Simon Garfunkel went on to become one of the most beloved musical acts in history. Two Columbia graduates. Each of whom had added so much to the world. In his own way, we're still best friends. Art Garfunkel said that when he became friends with Sandy, my real life emerged. I became a better guy in my own eyes and began to see who I was. Somebody who gives to a friend. Sandy describes himself as the luckiest man in the world. This is adapted from Sandy Greenberg's memoir, of Hello Darkness, My Old Friend, subtitled, How Daring Dreams and Unyielding Friendship Turn One Man's Blindness into an Extraordinary Vision for Life. So I'll never hear the opening line of that song, Hello Darkness, My Old Friend, in the same way again. And it speaks of the kind of compassion and friendship we need to be establishing in our world of so much violence and so much insanity going on. So that story touched me pretty deeply. I hope it does you. Inspires you to be a better person.
Michael, your microphone just went crazy just about 10 seconds ago.
Is that better?
Yes.
That's strange. I don't know what happened. In any event, I thought that was a very powerful and inspirational story. And talk about empathy. And it was Art Garfunkel that gave himself the name Darkness in connection with his friend. So it became the title song of one of their biggest hits, or the title line, Hello Darkness, My Old Friend. So welcome, everybody. We're delighted and honored that you're here as we touch into this awesome understanding of how to connect our being and our brains together into one functioning human, a real movement from the culture that teaches us to live in our heads, which, you know, of course, in the brain, the thing between our ears, there's such great calculating ability. But like a computer, all it has is a calculating ability. It has no intelligence. And until we connect our intelligence, and what they're discovering is that there's actually more than one center that is appropriately called brain. One of those centers is in that 3 pounds between our ears. One of those centers is actually above our heads. The other one, interestingly enough, they're finding is in our hearts. Literally, and I'm talking about physiologically, I'm talking about so-called chemical function. And it's that brain that's in our hearts that holds the intelligence. Geniuses can calculate out of their brains, but without that other brain connected, it can become the source of ruthlessness and insanity. The businessman who functions out of his brain says, I have this business deal. I can make $500 million off of this in the next 5 years. And his calculator goes, yay, we did it. But if the intelligence is connected And he says, but the lives of 400 villagers along the river where this development is going to take place will be destroyed. Intelligence says, I don't care if it's a half a billion or 10 billion, I can't do it. A brain without connection to intelligence is a terrible, terrible thing. Just take a look at what happened out in Buffalo, New York recently. Look at what happened in Texas. And look at all the calculators going on as to how they can keep the profit game on track. You know, we don't know, won't pass any legislation that will interfere with profit. Those whose hearts are connected, whose intelligence are connected, said, we can't let profit do it. We've got to wake up. So if you recognize that sometimes you calculate, and your calculations come to conclusions that are correct but disastrous, make sure before you make a choice that you connect your heart, that you connect your intelligence. And out of that intelligence, make the choice to continuously upgrade the brain by removing the calculating factors that are based in hostility or fear, so that you don't fall victim to your own calculating ability and the past, the generational patterns of rage and guilt and grief. But rather, as Art Garfunkel did, he remembered who he was, and intelligence gave and changed the world. And my offering is that each one of us has that ability. Each one of us is born with the ability and the intelligence to change the world. Not only the ability and the intelligence, but the obligation and the capacity to. That's what we're here for. Now, the calculator might say, oh, yeah, but I'm better off going off making money. Well, that's one calculation. But if intelligence doesn't enter that calculation, there's a really serious problem. And sadly, the serious problems that are facing the world today can all be corrected. Oh, the calculators will distract, so that their calculations that put money in their pockets or power in their pockets are the things that are taken into account, and intelligent, that non-intelligent brain, either it's hostility or fear, will calculate all kinds of distractions and ways to tell stories to keep us away from the truth. Just make sure your heart's connected first. Make sure that brain, that place where intelligence is. Whether you're dealing with a child, a spouse, a parent, neighbor, friend or enemy, make sure intelligence is connected and you'll always win. So that's the lesson I bring back from my week's sabbatical with, I don't know, I guess we probably covered, what, about 3,000 miles, Jeannie? Maybe more than that?
Yeah, a little more than that.
Yeah. Thank you for all those hours behind the wheel. I know that was grueling. Especially on the way back yesterday.
Down pouring rain.
Poured rain. It's just, I mean, it was just buckets coming from the sky yesterday. It was crazy. In any event, how can we support you? If you're out there in listener land, if you're on one of those stations where we can't see you in our control panel because you're in one of those syndicated stations, then you can call into the show at 563-999-3581. If you call that number, you'll be listening to the show. And then if you push 1, that will raise a hand in the control panel, and we will be able to have a conversation. So what's on your mind? How can we support you? Delighted that you're here with us. So, Miss Jeannie, do we have anybody on the phone to the hand up?
No, we do not. But we did have an awesome book club session. You did that while I was driving yesterday.
Yes, it was fun yesterday. When we get the archive out, we'll put it on the website if you want to give it a listen. There were about, I forget how many, 30 or 40 people from different places in sub-Saharan Africa and England and Italy and all kinds of different places around the world with the Hear My Voice book club. Thank you to Yinka for setting that up. So we had a fun session where we did a Q&A. We got a lot of topics covered, and several people. Actually, Yinka is a young lady who runs the Hear My Voice book club. And I haven't asked her how she first got in touch with the book, but she got in touch with the book, read it, started doing worksheets. Like, she actually started to put the pen to the paper, and it's like, wow, this is life-changing. And she started to talk about it on the book club. Oh, is she? Well, hey there, young lady. Welcome. We appreciate you. Genius told me that Yinka was in the chat room. In any event, she's one of the few people who actually started to put the pen to the paper and started to see major changes happening in her world. And that's what inspired her to bring the book online and to contact us. I guess it's something new. They've never, in the years she's been operating, hasn't had an author before that have joined them. But she contacted me, and of course I was delighted to get to be part of it. And she started out yesterday by sharing a really significant piece of processing that she did out of a worksheet that, as I understood it, was kind of based on, you know, it's just she made a commitment to do a worksheet, and so it wasn't anything significant. It was just kind of, you know, one of those things. Okay, I'm going to do a worksheet on that. And when she completed it, it was just like this internal explosion. And, you know, it was 8:30 last night when we started, and she didn't say exactly what time, but it was sometime in the morning that she'd done that worksheet, 8:30 in the evening, England time. And she was still in tears when she shared with us the opening that she had. So it was really powerful, and I think was an inspiration for everybody listening. And so we ended up covering several different questions from different folks. And then several people shared the power of hearing. And again, we'll get that on the website as soon as we can, the power of hearing, the impact of doing just a simple offhanded worksheet. And, you know, we've talked before, and I made this point yesterday in the book club, is that we live in a culture where we understand we have to remember what it is that happened. And that leaves people searching, trying to figure out what happened, as though remembering the root of a trauma is a function of memory, but it is not a function of memory. Remembering, going back to the actual energy involved in the trauma, is a function of forgiveness. And that may be one of the most important aspects and understandings of forgiveness, is that when you engage in actual forgiveness as it was taught in the first century Aramaic language, your mind, each time you do a worksheet, will continuously be returning to the place where the original energetic offense happened. And when you bring forward whatever that original energetic offense was in the presence of love, everything transmutes. It's just the most amazing, powerful thing. So thank you, Yinka, for doing the book club, inviting us. And thank you for that worksheet share yesterday. It was very powerful. And we'll make sure that when we get the link from you that we have it available and more folks know about the book club.
She just typed in the chat room, a thank you for joining even while we were traveling, and that it was truly amazing evening, and that she has had so many messages from the people who had joined last night, and she really appreciates you and the teachings.
That's awesome. Yeah, it was a little bit of a challenge. We actually ended up getting home a day later than anticipated. We ended up spending an extra day at Heartland, And that put us a little behind schedule, so I ended up on a Zoom call. It's really pretty amazing technology. Here I am on my phone out on Highway 81 in this just teeming rainstorm. And we're talking to people in Africa and England and wherever else. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool to have that technology. It really is. The fact we can now get this to a global audience and make it functionally available. It's pretty exciting. So how are your worksheets going? You know, if you are not doing worksheets, we invite you to go to our website, whyagain.org. There are at least 20 radio shows, and now we've got two additional book study clubs where we walk somebody through a worksheet. So there's lots of instructions on how to do it right there on the website under special radio shows. You have the ability to actually do a live worksheet on your computer on the website, print it off when you're complete. You can print the worksheets, and this was part of our discussion yesterday, I think there was something like 25 or so different versions of the forgiveness worksheet. And we've left all 25 versions intact because everybody can see the evolution of the process from literally 40 years ago. It's probably about 43 years since the first worksheet was created. And the versions right down to Julie Haberstick's children's worksheets, 7 different versions. And each one has its own impact. Of course, we recommend the 7-step current worksheet as the one that people use, but there's a different emphasis on, you know, any of the 25 or 30 different worksheets that are there. So we suggest people test them and try them. We've had feedback from several people that they rotate. They'll use a particular worksheet maybe for a week or two, and they'll shift to one of the other ones, and then they'll shift back and forth. And so they're all there. You can select and do a worksheet on the website. You can print off that wide variety of worksheets and duplicate them for yourself. And or you can go to your app store, and when you get to your app store, whether you're on an iPhone or an Android, type in the words Heartland, HEARTLAND, Aramaic, ARAMAIC, forgiveness. And you'll see the world's only forgiveness app. You can download it free. The app is very specifically designed for total privacy. You'll notice that it only asks one permission. We know that when people do worksheets, it can get pretty intimate. I remember one fellow, we were out west doing a worksheet at a ranch, actually, in, was it Mount White out west? In any event, we were under the shadow of Mount White, if I remember correctly. And there was one gentleman who had done a stack of worksheets. He was really seriously working on it. It was in the fall, so it was chilly, and we had a fireplace going. And as everybody's packing up and getting ready to leave, he takes his stack over to the fireplace and opens it and pushes them all in the fireplace. You don't think I'm taking these home, do you? So some intimate issues.
I think it was
up.
Mount
so
Rainier.
Mount Rainier, that was it, yes. Yeah, it was Mount Rainier. Yeah, I was thinking Mount St. Helens, but no, it was one of the other ones in that range. So, yeah, anyway, it was funny to watch him just offload those worksheets before he left, burn them. But the app is designed so it's totally private. The only thing the app can do, the only permission to ask for is to use the internet so it can function. And then when you finish your first worksheet, if you choose to print it, which you can print a PDF to save to your phone, of course, the app has to have somewhere to save it, so it's going to ask for permission to access your drive to save it. But otherwise, there are no permissions required. You've got a totally, completely private, secure app. And you can do either one of two different versions of the worksheet. There's also a kids game, the Dragon Cleon game, for introducing kids to forgiveness. anywhere you want throughout the process, any page that you're on, you can click a link and send us a question. You know, if you're on step three and gee, you're not sure what this means or how this is supposed to work or open something big for you, drop us an email. Jeannie will then read the email on the radio show. We'll answer your question and we'll send you back an email telling you when and how to access the answer. So we're here for total complete support, as much as we can possibly give. And so download the app, put it to use. You've got access to the commitment through the app. You've got access to our 20,000-page website. It's really developing, Jeannie. The work you've done in that app is absolutely amazing. And if you have questions, that's what this radio show is for. How can we support you? Again, our call-in number is 563-999-3581. If you're overseas somewhere, you can click the Skype link and Skype into the radio show to ask your questions. So what's on your mind? How can we support you? If you're out there in listener land, push one. Let's have a conversation. Everybody silent today, sweetie?
It is. It's really quiet. I'm not sure if Magda's hand is still up from when she was talking to Dr. Tim or if she put it up again. So I'm going to turn on her mic and just see.
Hello,
Magda. Thank you
again. Hello to the young lady.
Hi there. No, I'm just listening. Since you turned my thing on, my phone, I will say something about listening to the recordings you have of people you've stepped through a worksheet. And I was very surprised the other day when I turned the show on and I heard my voice. And I realized, oh, my goodness, that's that worksheet that Michael stepped me through, what was it, 5 years ago or something? It was a long time ago.
I think that's probably more like 9 or 10 years ago.
Oh, my Lord. Well,
I'm not
yeah.
sure what the date of that show was, but it was like, I think, in the first year of the radio show.
It was February of 2012.
Oh, my goodness.
10 years.
Well, there
you go. Time flies when you're having fun. That was an awesome worksheet. I remember that one so well.
Yeah, that taught me a lot.
Talk about Hydra.
Uh-huh. It taught me a lot about Hydra. However, I really haven't utilized that information as well as I could. I realized after listening to the whole thing again, and I have listened to it other times, but not recently. And what I realized
right.
is that each step of the way you thought out the next Hydra. And I hadn't thought about it that way. I mean, I just stayed at the very top level with number one and number two in the worksheet process. And I have used Hydra that way, but going down into each step and asking, you asked us wonderful questions which threw out what other Hydras might be related. So it was very rich. And so what I need to do, what I'm going to do, is go through and listen to it again with a means of taking notes. So I can get back each and every one of those hydro steps and actually do the work that I never did to way back.
Sweet. Well, you know, maybe we should explain to people who might not have been part of that show or that particular conversation just what a Hydra is. And the Hydra as the fact that, you know, the surface mind's perception, you know, what's constructed by the mind reflects just what's at the very surface of the mind, and what's underneath it is invisible. You know, it's kind of like an iceberg. You look at the iceberg, you go, oh, well, there's that little thing over there. And all of a sudden you realize that, boom, 90% of it's under the water. Well, that's true of every perception that we have. And one of the objectives of the worksheet is to drop into what's underneath the surface of the mind. You know, if you listen to the psychologist today, they'll tell us that, you know, perhaps as much as 90, 95, 98% of our thinking is unconscious. And so in Greek mythology, the Hydra was the creature that if you cut off her head, several of the heads grew out of that stump. And so when you work through one aspect of a worksheet, then you get to start seeing the pieces that connect. And if I remember correctly, even though that was 10 years ago, I think you ended up with something like 16 or 17 worksheets out of that one, didn't you? I don't remember the number exactly, but it seems
like... I stopped counting at 12.
Yeah, it was just awesome. The way you did that was just like click, 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 click. And just went from, hopped from one iceberg to the other, to the other, to the other. That was a fabulous demonstration. And the reason I knew it was so long ago is that was actually the second worksheet that we did online. The first one we did with a medical doctor, if you remember, and that was an awesome worksheet. And then you came along with that Hydra, and it was like, what a perfect example. So anybody who hasn't listened to that, I'm sure Jeannie's already got it in the notes for today, but you might want to give that that radio show a listen. It was fun, it was funny, and it's powerful. And it was glad, and thank you. And Chuck, for taking us to lunch on the way out of Theodosia yesterday. It was nice to just hang out with you guys for a while. And I was really happy to hear you share that you had listened to that show and how it touched you after 10 years.
And I almost, when I realized what it was at the beginning of the show, I almost didn't listen. I thought, well, no, I've heard this before a couple of different times. However, I did continue to listen, and I realized as I was going along in the process of hearing them that there was so much more that I had not accessed. So I have a lot of great work to do. And Michael, you have, it was easy to do it because I had the support with you, and I had the direction was given through your questioning so that it became an easy process. Yeah.
Well, one of the things that I so deeply appreciate about this work and the teachings of Yeshua and the exposure for so many years, the last half century, of having had the opportunity to build the brain cells to recognize something when it's there. If you've ever looked at a picture and gee, it's some kind of jumble, I'm not sure what this is, my brain's working on trying to make sense of it and construct something that is rational about this picture in front of me, and it's like nothing comes because I don't know what the brain cells for. And then as brain cells develop, it's just like click, oh that's what that is. It's just so clear. We actually just got a game for Aria. And it's a storybook game, and it's about inspiring kids to tell stories. And it comes with all these color cards, with all these characters and creatures and structures. We just got it last night when we got home, and I was having fun going through it and imagining, there's the frog with the, fly flying above it, and there's some kind of a creature monster, and there's a castle, and there's all kinds of things, and it was just fun to look at and realize that we get the opportunity to help this little one who's developing her brain cells to start to look at something and see all aspects of it rather than stuck in one construct and miss the rest. So it's going to be a fun game that we'll get to play with her. It's pretty cool.
Oh, that'll be great. By the way, we have two new additions to our family. we brought home two new kitties yesterday.
Oh, really? How did you do that?
Where'd you get those?
There's a humane society that is between here and Mountain Home. And they're not connected with the humane society, but they're supported just by donations. And they just take in kitties of all different ages. And we know that they do good work there because we've had some experience with them before. And Chuck was saying, we really need some, I've got a tickle coming up, some talk in the outside because we can't let our white cat go out. too obvious to predators and our other cats. Other cat is getting a little older. He's not that concerned with being outside and hunting. Excuse me.
So you got the right color little friends that are going to be able to hide themselves in the brush and all of that to be out and grow in that safe environment.
Indeed. And I think they're going to be wonderful mousers. And so we're trying to get them used to us first. They have to stay in for a couple of days at least so that we can bond. And then we will gradually get them used to outside.
They'll stay around.
Yeah, right.
Cool.
Oh, my goodness. And I think that's why I might have a tickle in my throat. Four cats in the house. Oh, my Lord.
That's a lot of cats. It's a lot of dander flying around.
More than I've ever. Well, I'm dusting right now because of it. But anyway, I thought of you, and it's good that you weren't here because I know you're allergic to cats. So.
Well, it's interesting. You know, a couple of weeks ago on the show, we brought up the idea of allergies, and I was sharing that, you know, in my early life, I mean, it was just horrendous. I mean, for the first two decades. And there was a point where, and I shared in the show, that I had overcome allergies. And actually, I had been in the restaurant business at that point, and I had to hire somebody to cut our lawns. And when I got back, we had a five-acre really beautiful estate type restaurant, and I went out and got on the tractor and cut 5 acres of lawn without a sneeze. Well, as I shared that on the show just a few weeks ago, the next day I had allergies open up like I haven't had happen in 30 years. I mean, I was just, oh man, what did I open when I talked about that on the show yesterday? And I was a little bit in trepidation going to Michael's, my son's, and staying there because they've got three cats. Well, you know, I spent about, how long was it, honey? Maybe it's been 3 or 4 weeks. And I mean, I was just sneezing and eyes running and eyes red. I mean, at one point, my granddaughter drew a picture of me, and she has some
I saw that.
Colored. Yeah, Jeannie was showing, she has these little colored magnets, and there are two of them that are red, and she put these two red magnets in for my eyes because my eyes had been so red. Like, oh, thanks, Aria. In any event, that, you know, that has resolved. You know, I've done a lot of breathing and spent the, you know, 3 or 4 days at Michael J's with three cats and wasn't bothered at all. So I'm glad we threw that layer, but it was an interesting couple of weeks. It was pretty intense.
Yeah. Well, maybe I will get cured. Because I know that in the past I have been a bit allergic to cats. And so we'll see. We'll see what happens with this immense dose that I'm getting right now.
Okay. Cool. Well, we'll hold you in our hearts, young lady.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much. And I'm glad that you got home safe and sound, and hope that you get some rest, you guys. I know it was a lot of traveling and everything else.
We both said this morning it was really nice to sleep in our own bed last night. It was really nice to get up to our own breakfast table and have the breakfast we're used to having where the last 10 days it's just been. I mean, it was a wonderful trip, but definitely, you know, since we stopped traveling, you know, this is something, traveling like this was what we did, you know, since we met, you know, every weekend. We were in a different city, and, you know, we didn't think anyone, and Jeannie was saying as we're driving, it's like, God, we used to do this all the time. I can't believe we used to do this. We used to be on the road like this. This was crazy. It's like, yeah, it's crazy.
I said, I don't want to do it again.
And I agree. Done. We're done with that. 40 years on the road was enough. 40 years on the road was enough. It's really nice to live somewhere.
Indeed, it is. Well, one thing I want to, before I ring off and continue listening, one thing I want to recommend to anyone who is listening today, that you can gain so much by listening to past recordings of those worksheets and listening to them more than once. And especially if it's your very own recording, if you happen to be the one who is getting walked through by Michael Jr. Dr. Tim, listening to it again is like, oh my goodness, I didn't hear that the first time and the third time. And so anyway, I wanted to recommend that and put a good plug in for that. Okay, so I need to roll on here, but I will finish with.
Have a blessed one.
Okay.
Okay.
You
take
well.
Care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
By the way, one of the things I suggest is that you keep a record, you know, create notebooks and keep your worksheets in them and go back. One of the things I did was I brought a stack of my worksheets that I'd found from years ago that I'm planning to review. But you go back a year later, 2 years later, 3 years later. You know, you can go back every year to the work you did the previous year. And there'll be a whole different construct in your mind available and a whole different healing opportunities. So keep your worksheets and really use them. They are a powerful resource for the future. And if you go back to one 20 years from now that you did 20 years ago, you know, you did today, it will have gifts that you can't imagine. It's just when you realize, there comes a point where you begin to realize the depth of this mental structure that most people never even conceive is there, that they can't even fathom that it's there. And as you do your work, you get to the point where you get to be the master of that thing. And when you realize its enormous capacity, according to which at least one physician that I know, his calculation is that there are an equal number of connections available in one human brain equal to the number of molecules in the known universe. Now, if you don't fathom that that's what's in your mind, then you're not using it for what it's designed for. Imagine the day when 7.5 billion people wake up and go, oh, there's enough data in my mind, data to match the number of molecules in the known universe. I'm not, you know, saying just the number of grains of sand on a beach, which is often used to represent an enormous number, or enough grains of sand to represent all the beaches in the world, the molecules in the known universe. That's the capacity you have as a human being. That's the gift that life has given to each of us. And if we're not living in it, if we're not cognizant of it, if we're not functioning out of that, then we're not human. All we are is automatons rolling along. If we're being controlled by what's been placed there by the generations. You know, you listen to that scriptural quote that says, look to the lives of the fathers, for ours are but a shadow of theirs upon the earth. If your life is a shadow of the previous generations, have you lived? And to wake up to the truth of who we are is just so profound. And to begin to reach into the depth of what's possible for us as human beings is the objective of this work. And make sure your intelligence center is connected with your calculating center. One of the ways you can do that is just to breathe, put your hand on your heart, and imagine that the intelligence center in your heart is literally being connected, energetically linked to the calculating center in your brain. At this stage in this culture, we tend to consider calculating ability to be intelligent. It is not. It can be deadly. The intelligence must be hooked up to the calculating center in order for us to really function as human beings. And so if you're out there listening, and how can we support you? What's on your mind? Calling number 563-999-3581. Let's have a conversation. Ms. Jeannie, do we have anybody in the phone queue with a hand up or anything happening in the chat room?
No, it's all quiet, and we're down to 9 minutes, so we've got time for one more quick question. Press one.
Yeah. So if I'd been out in your hometown, you know, we'd been on the road, and we're doing a series of workshops, and I'd been on a platform.
Magda's hand went back up.
Oh, well, let's see what the young lady has to share with us. Hey.
Hi there.
Hey, hiya. Can't get rid of me, girls and boys.
Good.
I just, yeah, right. I just wanted to.
We're glad you're
to,
here.
I am glad to, and I'm glad to be speaking with you guys. I was just thinking about that worksheet we did and how deep we dug together into everything else that was related. And what a simple worksheet it started out to be. I mean, it was really
yes.
simple. Such a little tiny incident that I was doing a worksheet over, and it just opened up a floodgate, little by little, of everything else that was connected to it in history. So that was, I think that's really important. You don't have to have big issues in order to get
right.
into really deep situations in your life.
That was the point Yinka had made on the show we did on the Hear My Voice book study club. It was a small uh-huh. issue worksheet, but open major. And as I think about it, Magda, if you think back to the intensive where you and Chuck did the responsibility communication tool.
Yes.
It really, and I'm just, what strikes me now is just the import of each of the tools, because when you utilize that tool, you opened a whole other hydra based in that worksheet we'd done 10 years ago.
Truly.
Right?
Yeah. Truly.
I mean, it's just, mm-hmm. it's like the next layer of the next layer of the next layer.
Mm-hmm. It just keeps going on because there are always more layers. And, of course, the most wonderful thing to remember, too, is that even though the layers are seemingly endless, which can lead this one here talking, to thinking, well, this isn't worth it. I'll never get done. And it's okay. Never being done is okay, because what happens is that while we're working with each layer, no matter how small or how big, our life just gets better and better and better along
Absolutely.
The way. So it's a win-win-win. You know, that's just how it is. Yeah,
it's like each piece of work that we do liberates another level of aliveness and joy and fulfillment. And yeah. yet we're not finished with everything else, but we don't have to be. And you don't fret over what isn't finished. You're in aliveness. And, yeah, I know there's more work and probably some deeper work I'm going to need to do. But the aliveness in the moment just from being liberated from that past is just so profound. It's
It is.
Almost unfathomable.
And so welcome in our life in this world, on this planet at this time. Yep. I wish all and everyone had this tool and used it. We would have a much different world.
Everything we can do to make it available to every mind, heart, and being is what we are about. And we're doing it differently than we were on the road for all those years, but just as diligently working to put it out and make it available on a global scale. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that was what I wanted to add. So once again, I'm going back to my kitty world here.
Okay. Good addition. Thank you, Magda. Appreciate you helping us to have these insights. It's a gift to everybody.
Oh, absolutely. Blessings to all. Bye-bye.
All right. Lots of love. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay.
So, Miss Jeannie?
We have 4 minutes. There were a couple questions actually in the book club last night about breathing. And so for those of you who aren't part of the monthly Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing, the next one will be on June the 11th. And there's information on the website about that. You can go to the website and you can either click on events or you click on schedules. And there, you'll find 3 things there. You'll find the information for the book club. You'll find information for the Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing monthly membership and also the codependence and communication. So the questions were being asked of, well, why can't you just, you know, tell us about the breathing, explain it over the phone or whatever. Can you go into detail on that, why that has to be experiential?
Well, you know, when you start opening what's called the veil of the temple, people have packed away their garbage in a way that their lives are at least semi-functional, most people. And what the breath does when used properly is open those things that have been packed away in a way that gives you the opportunity to resolve them. But the challenge is if you start doing that and you go back into, oh, no, I don't want to do that, if you don't have the support, then it's kind of like, you know, have you ever gotten a complicated electronics gizmo, you know, that was packed by somebody in Japan into this nice little package? You open the package up, and then you decided you want to put it all back in the box, and it was impossible. Well, when you start using the Still Point Red, you start unpacking things. And oftentimes people, if they're not supported, if they're not part of a process, they'll go into resistance and they'll walk away from it, but they can't pack that back in their lives, and it becomes a challenge. So I never do the instructions for the Still Point process unless it's live, someone's part of a process, and they're committed to following through and fulfilling their commitment of doing the full process. So, and it's interesting, we've got a small group, but the folks that are part of the group, well, Magda's one of them, and Magda's been doing this work for, I'm not sure, 20, getting close to 20 years, I guess. And Roma, she's been doing the work for about 35. And Julie, let's see, Julie's been doing the forgiveness process. Well, the first time we were up in Oregon was probably, I don't know, when was that, sweetie, maybe 17, 16 years ago? Maybe just a couple of years after we met. In any event, there's some really wonderful wisdom keepers that are part of the process and a really strong community forming. We meet once a month. It's a Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing session. We do it the second Saturday of each month at 11 o'clock Eastern time. And then we do the second part of it on Tuesday evening following that Saturday. So the second Saturday of the month, and the Tuesday following that at 7 o'clock. And so that makes for our monthly Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing session. So if you'd like to join that, it's a one-year program. You can participate in just one session, or you can do a package of 3, or you can do the whole year. And if you try one session or the 3 and you decide you want to upgrade to the year with the discount applies so that all the sessions are discounted if you go to the larger, you know, commitment. So if you want to take part in that, drop Jeannie a note, J-E-A-N-I-E at whyagain.org. Jeannie at whyagain.org. Give her your name and your phone number. Let her know you want to join us, and we'll get you signed up. It'll be the second Saturday of June coming up, and then the Tuesday following that. In the meantime, have the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Blessings. Bye-bye. I choose to live more consciously, evolving continuously. Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here for 2 hours every Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mind Shifters Radio.
For more information on Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.